Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the big show on your radio, 3 hours of sports talk excellence starts right now. I am Rob Brown. This is the Rob Brown Show coming to you live on ESPN, Upstate 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, all around the world at radio.com or on the radio.com app. Give it to me, Diesel.
Lockdown.
There it is, getting us started at 3 minutes after the top of the hour. What's happening, D-Train? How are you, pal?
It's good to be here on a Friday because that means I don't have to be here for another couple of days.
Yes, very much. I mean, everybody's working for the weekend, and now it's almost here. Just a few more hours separating us from another COVID weekend. Can't wait. You know what? I don't even care. I'm just happy. I will say we are keeping an eye out to the weather. I believe I have been told it is not, Diesel, as I said yesterday when I put on my Rob Brown meteorologist cap, that is not Hurricane Isaias. It is Hurricane Isaias.
Who's doing this to us? Hurricane ISIS. Let's not mess with it. It's Hurricane ISIS.
Depends on how close it gets to us. Yes, it may very well feel that way. Yes, but we are keeping an eye on this storm as we head towards the weekend. As of right now, the latest track has continued to show the eye of the storm staying out over the Atlantic, and then eventually that storm curling back off into the Atlantic Ocean. As of right now, there are predictions that inclement weather from the storm, which is still currently a tropical storm moving towards the east coast of the state of Florida right now, and will then again ride that Atlantic coast up Georgia and up over towards Charleston and around the up and around the Charleston area, and then continue to peel off into the ocean. Not expected to get past a Category 1 status as of the latest projections. The eye of the storm will skirt along to the east side of Florida, directly across the state, if you know where the Tampa-Orlando area is, directly across from there, up the east coast, over towards Jacksonville, and then follow that same course up. If the eye of the storm was to come ashore, it would come ashore right on the east coast of South Carolina sometime around Monday morning around 8 a.m. So by the time that Diesel and I join you on the radio on Monday afternoon, that is around the time that Hurricane Isaias, I don't know if I'm I don't know if Isaiasing that right, but That hurricane will likely be due or probably at that point back to tropical storm. It's expected to be a Cat 1 by the time that it gets to the east coast of Florida, which will be tomorrow morning around 9 a.m. our time. Then it will ride throughout the course of the day, the east coast of Florida. Monday around 8 a.m. it is expected to be the eye of that storm, expected to be just off the Atlantic coast, right to the east of the Georgia-South Carolina beach border, and then is expected to take its time all day long, moving up the east coast of South Carolina back out into the Atlantic Conference. Atlantic Conference. I got football in the brain. Atlantic Ocean. That's the word I'm looking for. Will we see impacts in the upstate area? Not 100% sure yet. Do not know how big this storm is going to grow. Don't know what impact it is going to take once it gets out towards the ocean. I mean, as of right now, it is not a huge storm. It is a relatively compact storm, but it is also right now over the Bahamas, making its way towards the northern coast of Cuba. It will not actually hit Cuba. It is likely to follow up to the north of Cuba before bending a, bending David Beckham style up to the coast of Florida. And then again, the eye of the storm will stay out over the Atlantic Ocean, but the eastern side of the storm will make its way ashore over the western coast, the eastern coast of Florida. The western part of the storm will make its landfall over Florida, right up Georgia and into South Carolina. So with all that being said, we'll keep an eye on this for you. We'll watch it develop. You can follow us over the weekend at ESPN Upstate on Twitter, and we will do the best there that we can for you as that storm makes its way up towards the South Carolina area. Again, that will likely be around Monday. We may very well possibly start seeing some of those early feeder bands over Sunday morning into Sunday afternoon. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. I know that is zero help, but that's the best we got for you right now. So now that the house cleaning is in effect there, Diesel, it's time to do that thing we do.
It's time for the lunch break down.
Very nice. Very nice. You really put some heart into that. I appreciate that. It is time for the lunch break. Down the three things you have to know before we go talk sports with our friends, families, coworkers, or pets, whoever you spend your lunch time with. And we start with item number one, Major League Baseball. Yeah, they're trigger shy now. We know that. They had the breakout against the Miami Marlins earlier in the week of COVID-19, and now they appear to be very gun shy. Two St. Louis Cardinal players tested positive for COVID-19. And today's afternoon contest between the Cardinals and the Brewers is now postponed. MLB's decision came very quick to postpone the contest between the Cards and the Brew Crew, which was scheduled for 2:10 this afternoon. Of course, that comes on the heel of the outbreak within the Miami Marlins, who have now had over 20 positive tests, at least 18 by players, and another few in administrative staff over the past 8 days. The postponed game has been rescheduled as part of a doubleheader on Sunday, with the first game to start at 2:10, and the Saturday game is set to remain scheduled for 7:10 p.m., so there will be three contests in 24 hours for that squad, or I should say for those two squads. MLB said the postponement allows for enough time for the Cardinals to do additional testing and contact tracing, according to ESPN's Jesse Rogers. That if what had happened with the Cardinals right now had happened before the Marlins outbreak, then Friday's game at Miller Park would still have been played. So baseball right now has now admitted to ESPN's Jesse Rogers that if this set of positive tests would have happened last week, those two players would have been sent home and the Cardinals and the Brewers still would have played. But because they are now gun-shy about the outbreak that happened in Miami, they are going to just set the whole thing down for now, come back, revisit this game on Sunday, assuming that there is not another breakout, which I will tell you, based on that decision, you better hope there's not. You better hope that this doesn't lead to a breakout amongst the Cardinals, because considering the fact that they have now shown they're willing to set you down for two players, if they're 17-18, I think we borderline get to the point where Major League Baseball just calls it a season and says, you know what, we're going to go ahead and set this thing down, maybe try for another restart later on. Maybe they consider moving guys back into the bubble. Who knows? But again, they have now shown that they are trigger shy, they are gun shy, and are willing to shut down an entire series over two tests. You better hope that the Cardinals have done a good job socially distancing, and those are the only two positive tests. So that's where baseball stands today. If we're being honest, not great news. Not great news. Item numero dos in today's lunch breakdown: we now have two basketball games in the books. The Pelicans of New Orleans took on the Jazz in my can't miss game of the day, and it Diesel, it missed. I got that one wrong. Whoops. I mean, it happens to the best of us, right? The Jazz would go out and get a very well-contested W, 106-104 over the Pelicans. 23 points out of Brandon Ingram, 20 points out of Drew Holiday, 21 out of J.J. Redick, who balled out, only 10 out of Josh Hart, and Zion Williamson only played 13 minutes in that game. The Pelicans had an opportunity late in that matchup to dig deep and go get a dub, and they didn't have their best player on the floor. And if I hear the word conditioning one more time, I'm going to freaking throw up. Unbelievable last night that the best player in that game sat the last 12 minutes of that game and was not allowed to contribute. You had 2 minutes down the stretch where the lead's bouncing back and forth. The Pelicans are playing for their playoff lives. Everything's going right except the Jazz are dominating on the glass and dominating in the garbage points, and Zion is sitting on the bench watching it happen. You didn't do enough to make Anthony Davis happy enough to stay. He decided to leave town, and yeah, well, you know, he was out of the bubble for 5 days. We had to get conditioning in there. You are playing for the playoffs. You are playing for your playoff lives. Zion clearly wanted in on the floor. You could see it in his eyes on the bench, and you had him sitting down. Absolutely unbelievable to me. Absolutely unacceptable. Look, this is the kind of thing that ran Anthony Davis out of New Orleans, and it's the kind of thing that when Zion Williamson's rookie deal is up, unless things change dramatically, which they won't because Alvin Gentry is not a late-game basketball coach, you're going to see this happen again. Here is why Gentry said that he could not play Zion Williamson towards the end of that game, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
Of course, we wish we could have played him down the stretch, but you know, he had used the minutes that was given to us. So you know, that's just, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, we weren't going to stick him back out there. You know, our medical people said that we played him in the minutes that was allowed us to play him, and you know, we'll just move on. I thought he looked good. I thought he had some good moments. And obviously, you know, we're a much better and a much different basketball team when he's out on the floor.
Diesel, are you ready for my very deep, very professional, expert-level analysis of Alvin Gentry's statement right there?
Let's hear it.
Here it is. Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. Unbelievable.
Well, conditioning. We had a minutes restriction.
You had him on a minutes restriction when he came back from the injury at the start of the season, and he played the 13 games before the shutdown, and he was fine. This time, he didn't practice for like 7 days. He's kind of a super athlete. Feel like he's going to be okay. So the Pelicans are playing for their lives last night. No, we're good. We're just going to have the best player on the floor for both teams sit on the bench. He played 15 minutes total. 15 out of 48 minutes, Zion was on the floor. 15 minutes in a game where I said yesterday, the only way the Pelicans lose this game is if Derek Favors plays poorly and Rudy Gobert wins it for him because Zion isn't out there on the floor. And what happened? Derek Favors played poorly. Rudy Gobert had a double-double, and Zion was on the floor. It absolutely infuriates me when something that is so obvious that even my dumbass can get it right, and a team just falls down that rabbit hole. We'll talk about that later on in the show. Finally, item number three, just a day after the ACC announced that they would officially play their 10-game conference plus
business leaders and technologists.
Oh, that's my computer. Ha. Just a day after, I was like, "Where? What is Diesel playing there?" Nope, it's me. I'm an idiot. One day after the ACC announced the 10-game conference plus one bonus conference game, the SEC has announced that they will be playing a 10-game conference-only schedule for the 2020 season, also pushing the start of its season back to September 26th. That was originally supposed to be week four of the 2020 campaign, and with that shift back, it means the SEC championship game will now be pushed 2 weeks back to Saturday, December 19th, creating flexibility amongst teams with two opportunities for makeup games, as the adjusted schedule will feature a midseason bye for each school and an open date for all programs on December 12th, 1 week before the title game, plus your usual bye weeks. It is unknown at this time how the SEC will fill out the additional two games of its conference-only schedule, as the revised set of games will be announced by the league at a later date. Remember, SEC members traditionally play eight conference games each season. They play their six inside their respective divisions, one permanent cross-division opponent, and one rotational cross-division opponent. Florida Athletic Director Scott Strickland said yesterday evening the SEC will maintain its two-division structure and will not play the 2020 season as a single division like the ACC has moved to. And he also said he believes the SEC will factor, quote, competitive fairness into determining the two additional conference games that each team will play this season. Here is some sound from Greg Sankey. Here is Greg Sankey explaining why they decided to do a conference-only schedule. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Go ahead, Greg.
We wanted to set a start date, and that's really the point of emphasis. And it follows our return to campus. And over the last 2 weeks of August, we're going to have tens of thousands of people back on our campuses and our locales. We're going to be reengaging in education. It will be different as we live in this COVID environment, and we need to make sure that happens and happens well. And our athletics programs operate in the context of our universities. Despite what some may write from time to time, that is absolutely our reality. And this decision is a recognition of that reality, wanting to make sure we welcome people back, that whatever learning and change has to happen around our campuses takes place in a great way, and that will allow us to play the football season.
So there's Greg Sankey, Commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, explaining exactly why it is the SEC elected to go to the 10-game conference with no bonus out-of-conference game, which also kills off officially the South Carolina-Clemson game, the Georgia-Georgia Tech game, and a handful of other SEC-ACC matchups moving forward. We're going to get deeper into that later on in the show as well. But we've got to run to a break when we come back here in just a minute. We had basketball last night on the floor, live, actual, for real basketball, and we're going to talk about it because I want to. That's up next on the Rob Brown Show. You, friends, are listening to the Rob Brown Show. You are listening to ESPN Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is indeed on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Robin Diesel with you on a Friday. Got to get down on Friday, 12:25 in the afternoon all around the Upstate. Coming to you live from the Casa de Love. Let's talk a little Southeastern Conference football. Yesterday, 2 days ago, the ACC made their announcement that they would be joining the Big Ten and the Pac-12 in conference-only scheduling. However, they then went one step further and announced that they would be playing a one-game bonus game where schools could pick an out-of-conference dance partner to wrap up their season. And, of course, there was much elation and joy around the Upstate, as it meant that the Carolina Palmetto Bowl would continue. South Carolina v. Clemson was still in place, despite that recently having been a bit of a lopsided affair, tilted towards the Tigers. The game would go on as usual, and then the Southeastern Conference said, whoops, our bad, never mind. We are not going to let that happen. No Palmetto Bowl now, as the Southeastern Conference did go with a conference-only schedule, but have elected not to add the one out-of-conference bonus game, which means that Georgia-Georgia Tech is off the table, Florida-Florida State is off the table, and, of course, Clemson v. South Carolina is now off the table, courtesy of the Southeastern Conference electing not to add that bonus game. So yesterday, I went on the air in Mobile, Alabama on 105.5 WNSP Sports out of Mobile alongside Dave Schultz. And you guys have heard Dave on our radio program in the past. Dave is right there in the heart of SEC country. He's got his ear to the ground connected to the SEC. So he asked me to come on and talk to him a little bit about what all of this meant to me, what I thought was going to come out of this, etc. And in that conversation, what I told Dave is what I'm going to tell you now, which is this. I think there is one reason and one reason alone that the Southeastern Conference decided to go ahead and kill off those rivalry games. And that reason, that one reason, and that one reason alone is 160% because there's no centralized power in the world of college football. Well, what do you mean by that, Rob? Glad you asked, hypothetical listener I just made up. Let me go ahead and explain it to you. So my thought is this. The NCAA does not appear to have the power to tell college football conferences, especially when specifically the P5 conferences, hey, look, in order for your guys to be cleared to play on Saturdays, you have to run these testing protocols, these procedures. You got to do it this way on this timeline. And only if and only if you meet those criteria will you be allowed to play college football in the fall on Saturdays. Well, if the NCAA can't do that, then the only group that after that has the power to make that decision was the individual conferences. So the Southeastern Conference joins the Big Ten and the Pac-12 by saying, look, if the NCAA itself does not have the power to be able to say, all right, we demand that in order for you to play against an SEC team, you have to have this sort of power and these protocols and these guidelines and meet these conditions under this timeline, etc., then damn it, we'll do it ourselves. And the SEC was side-eyeing the ACC, side-eyeing the Big Ten, side-eyeing the Pac-12, and said, look, we can't be sure that the ACC will meet our level of testing, will not meet our level of expectations as far as coronavirus protocols and guidelines. So to ensure that we know that the only teams that take the field underneath or alongside an SEC banner are the teams that are flying said banner so that we can be the end-all, be-all authority over those squads and over the fields on which they play. That's the only theory I've got right now this second. Working, waiting for more information, hoping we'll learn more from some of the talking heads down in SEC territory later on in the day. But for right now, that's the only explanation I can come up with, right? Is that the SEC, in order to protect itself, has said, we're not going to let any outsiders in. Last night, as a matter of fact, Diesel, I had a conversation with somebody that they really kind of put this into an interesting perspective. You're a horror guy, right, Diesel?
Sure, I like it.
All right, cool. So let's look at this COVID outbreak as if it's a horror movie. It's a zombie movie, right? And everybody who gets the COVID is a zombie. Diesel and I are already, we've already been zombified. Everybody who gets it is a zombie. Now, every time one of these movies breaks out, Diesel, you end up with a small group of people who start to kind of like form a little tight-knit community. And there's always a couple of rules that come into play with these tight little survivor groups in a zombie movie, one of which is, don't let in outsiders, right? Because what happens in every zombie movie when an outsider shows up, Diesel?
Somebody dies.
Yes, somebody dies. So, in the world of COVID zombies, and again, I'm not calling anyone with COVID a zombie, even though I could because I had it and Diesel had it. So, if anybody's zombies, we're the zombies. In a world full of COVID zombies, there are 14 survivors living together in the southeastern region of the United States. And these 14 survivors are trying to figure out how they're going to carry on. And so they've built their little community and they fenced it in. And inside of that community, there are fields where these survivors play and live and experience their lives. And then the survivors one day looked around and there was a knock on the gate. And they looked outside the gate. And there were 14 more people knocking outside saying, hey, we also have our own little community. What say we join up our two little communities and share in the mutual benefits of this.
Now we get into the boring seasons of The Walking Dead.
Bingo. But the point is, but I know it's Diesel, it's kind of a silly metaphor, right? But it makes sense, right? If you're the SEC, you're keeping the gates closed and locked, because even though those 14 other survivors outside, that being the ACC and Notre Dame, even though you have those members outside looking to get in and they say they're going to work with you, all it takes is for one of them to break your protocol outside your gate to bring the virus inside, and now you're all zombies. It's a really stupid metaphor, Diesel, that makes perfect sense. At least I thought so. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text me at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so it filters to me. You can tweet me as well, twitter.com/ The Rob Brown Show, or at The Rob Brown Show on Twitter, at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio is his handle as well. If you want to jump on board, you can do it. Let's take a real quick break. We'll come back here in just a minute. I got a couple of texts we will address and get into some basketball. Two games on the books. Got a whole bunch more coming up tonight, including one starting here in just a few minutes. Stick around. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is right here on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob and Diesel with you today on the broadcast. Hope you are having yourself a fabulous Friday afternoon as we scream towards the weekend. Join us at 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN, and text us at 71307. A couple of texts we've gotten, including this one, ESPN. So it's safer for South Carolina to go to Texas A&M instead of just playing Clemson 2 hours away. And here's, I understand, and you're correct in your thought process there, right? It does seem like it would make sense for South Carolina to just hop on a bus and head right across the upstate to go play Clemson. But here's the thing. The communication between the ACC and the SEC about testing and protocols and what are you going to do and not do and what do you allow and not allow and how do we guarantee that our team is going to be safe to play your team, I don't think that communication ever happened, right? One of the big things that I have talked about is that, as far as I am concerned, as much as this is antithetical to the beliefs of a lot of people in the area, if there's one thing that I think college football needs to learn from this pandemic, it is that it is imperative for them to move towards a more centralized power structure for college football, right? We have talked at length about the fact that when it comes down to it, all the conferences hold all the power. The conferences hold the individual power. The NCAA is just kind of a figurehead, right? And because of that, there's really no uniform structure to any of this. That's the big problem with this whole thing. That's the spot that we find ourselves in with an issue. So I hope that they will move eventually towards a more unified set of policies and procedures, the college football landscape. I really do hope that at some point they will recognize that central power will make football more uniform in situations like this one. But when it comes down to it, because the conferences have the power, even though you would think that South Carolina, let's see, how far is it from Greenville to, or excuse me, from Columbia to College Station? Let's see. Jay, you know what? I'm curious. I'm going to do this on air. South Carolina to College Station, Texas would take you a long time. A long time. I don't have the exact number in front of me. 15 hours worth of driving time. You talk about the flight. We'll probably cut it down to like 6 or 7 hours of travel time, right? Through an airport or on a bus. Yeah, it's a lot of time. Certainly longer than the 2 hours. But the thing is, South Carolina and Texas A&M both know that in order to play, they will have to meet the minimum guidelines set down by the Southeastern Conference. Whereas South Carolina, if they were to play Clemson, just has to trust that Clemson and the ACC have put guidelines in place. Now, the really simple solution for me is, why don't you lock Greg Sankey, John Swofford together in a room with a bunch of medical experts and go, hey, guys, figure it out. Figure out how the ACC and SEC can play each other this year. Figure it out. But we also have to reconsider, there's only 3 official games wiped off the table. I'm trying to think if I'm missing any, Diesel, but we've got Florida, Florida State, Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia, Georgia Tech, and I think that's it, right? Those are the only 3
between the SEC and
annual,
ACC, yeah.
Yeah, the only mainstay rivalries, right? So there's only 3 games off the books. It just prevents some other possibilities. Now, obviously, it kind of closes off some potential dance partners for the ACC who still have to fill out that bonus one or just drop it. And the ACC may very well just drop that, right? At this point, you might as well. There's not going to be any other dance partners for you for that plus one bonus game unless you're going to go out there and hire the Furmans and the FAMUs of the world. But you can't pay them the money that you would traditionally pay them during the COVID. So I think this probably leads to the ACC dropping their plus one format and just go into the 10 conference game schedule. You know, it's I don't know, Diesel. It just all feels so flat right now to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it feels like opportunities were there to be able to set this up had they, I don't know, thought about it months ago instead of saying, well, I'm optimistic that we're going to play. I think everything's going to be fine. I think we're going to be okay. We should be fine. Don't worry about it. We'll wait and see what everybody else is going to do. And then all of a sudden, ah, crap. We should have had a plan all along.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's like we talked about yesterday. At the end of the day, plans are like talking about the color you're going to paint your Ferrari. I mean, it's nice to know I want a black Ferrari with the red interior, but I got no plan to get a Ferrari, so it's really kind of irrelevant. By the way, yes, we just got a texter that reminded us that Louisville versus Kentucky is another ACC-SEC rivalry, so there's 4 of them. Yeah, thank you very much, texter. Appreciate you checking in. Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, South Carolina, and Louisville versus Kentucky are the 4 ACC-SEC primary rivalries. The rest would have just been guys kind of filling in, right? You could have had a, you know, Virginia versus Wake Forest, Vanderbilt versus NC State kind of set up for a year and put those teams together, had your protocols allowed, but you just sacrificed 4 games in order to play within the conference. And it's kind of one of those times, Diesel, as I have had opinions with bosses and teachers and parents and everybody where I've gone, I don't like your decision. I think your decision sucks, but I completely understand why you made it, and therefore I'm not really going to argue with it even though I don't like it. That's kind of the spot we're in right now. It just feels flat. 844-GSP ESPN, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP ESPN. Quick break. Back after this to wrap up hour number one, head into hour number two, and work our way towards the weekend, baby. Rob Diesel, you, the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At ESPN, do you think the scheduling will make for a more competitive or less competitive football season? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, look, the top of the SEC is going to battle. Clemson's got a cakewalk to the playoffs now, right? I mean, all they got to play is within the ACC. And with the exception of one game last year when North Carolina gave them a bit of a scare, Clemson really hasn't had any competition out of the ACC. Now, they add Notre Dame to the mix, and Clemson and Notre Dame will play each other in South Bend, Indiana this year. So at least that is kind of interesting, if nothing else. We got at least one game Clemson has got to fill in, and they'll probably, honestly, they'll probably play Notre Dame twice, right? Because I don't see Notre Dame losing another game with the exception of Clemson if they lose to Clemson and South Bend. And considering the ACC's playing without divisions, it means that Notre Dame will likely be the strongest remaining team. I really don't think there's another team in the ACC right now that is going to do better than a 9-win season, or excuse me, an 8-win season. I think Notre Dame's going 9-1 and Clemson's going 10-0, and assuming that the ACC knocks that bonus game out. Now, I don't know if they would just switch the 11th game to another conference game and play a full 11 games, or if they'll just crank it back to 10 like the SEC, Big Ten, and Pac-12 have done and play 10 conference games and that'll be the end of it. The SEC, the top of the SEC, Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Florida, Georgia is going to be a pretty competitive run atop the SEC or the SEC West and SEC East. The ACC is going to be a cakewalk. Ohio State's going to shred the Big Ten. Pac-12's probably going to be competitive, though I don't know that there's necessarily anybody out of the Pac-12 that registers on the radar up there with Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Florida, Clemson, Notre Dame, Ohio State. I think that's probably it, right? Now, what is going to be really interesting is when we get to the end of the year, picking out your playoff squads, predominantly because we don't have those cross-game examinations, right? We don't have a second-tier Big 12 team that's going to go play a top-tier SEC team to see just where the barometer is set for those squads, so that could make it a little more interesting. We'll address that further later on in the show. But Jim has called into the show to talk a little bit about the scheduling conversation. Jim, welcome. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Hope you guys are doing good today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, sir.
Just wanted to call and make a comment. I was listening to you just before the break about the reasons why you believe the SEC dropped that plus one game. And then while I do think you make a lot of good points, and I do think that the testing protocols, the policies put in place are a big part of it, I believe another big part is financial reasons. And the only reason I say that is, as you stated, there's only four SEC games that have interstate rivalries that are missed now. But the other 10 teams fill their schedule with these Group 5 FCS bye games that they pay guarantees for. So you've got a team like just, for instance, say Auburn, they got to fill four games with these bye games, and they're paying $1 million, $1 million plus for these teams. That, you know, that could add up to $4 to $5 million for Auburn to pay. Now, I realize that these games have been canceled, so there's probably something to be paid. But I know with South Carolina, there was a story that came out that with Coastal Carolina, South Carolina was scheduled to pay them $1.2 million for that game. But there was an insurance policy or some kind of cancellation policy in place that protected the University of South Carolina. So I believe the SEC just came in and said, we're going to protect our members. We're going to cancel these games so the schools don't have to. And now I would imagine all these schools have these policies in place, which allows them to exit out of these games without paying these schools all this money. It's going to save these schools maybe $4 to $5 million. Now, in the grand scheme of things, when the SEC schools are getting $40 million from the conference, that might not be a huge thing. But when you have a reduction in ticket sales, concessions, everything else going on, every bit of money they can save is going to help in the long run. So I believe that's a huge part of it myself.
Yes, Scott, or Jim, excuse me, I think you got a great point. I'm sure that, listen, there's a lot of finances behind it. Now, I'll tell you, anybody who claims to be a finances expert when it comes to college football that doesn't work for the conferences, I raise an eyebrow at. I don't know how that works out. And I'll tell you, I think that probably has a lot to do with it. And you're very right. It may be that the conference has a way to absorb those losses out of conference that the teams have to come up with. But – I think those probably go hand in hand, right? The SEC is doing what it can to protect all of those schools and the best way that it can. I appreciate the phone call, Jim. It's great to talk to you on a Friday afternoon. Look, there's a lot that went into this decision, right? I don't think the SEC made this decision lightly. I saw a lot of people yesterday saying, the SEC just doesn't want to have a bunch of SEC schools go lose at a conference because then it hurts the playoff chances
of
the teams at the top. Yeah, I don't agree with that.
That's a ridiculous excuse.
I agree. I think you're spot on, Diesel. I agree with you. I think that's just a trash talk way to explain something away that we don't necessarily like. And trust me, I don't like it. I very much was looking forward to my first Palmetto Bowl. Even if I couldn't be at it in person, I was excited to see what Greenville and what Spartanburg look like around Clemson, South Carolina time. I was very much looking forward to that, and I don't get it. I don't think this is the SEC protecting their top teams in terms of the playoffs coming around, although that would be valid. I don't think that's what happened. I think it's just a matter of protecting themselves from other schools not matching protocols and creating virus outbreaks within the SEC, and I think Jim has a great point, protecting the finances of the whole thing. We'll talk more about this later on in the show. My name is Rob Brown. Diesel's on the ones and twos. 2 hours left. It's the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.